Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And I'm really excited to have Abby Rogers here with us today. She's here coming all the way from Bristol, UK. So that's kind of exciting for us. And we're going to be talking about money manifestation, right? Because that's really important, and mindset. So those three things together, those are three M's. I love it because we all know how I love marketing, media, money. Here's three more M's for you. But let me tell you a little bit about our guest and why you may want to listen, and make sure you have pen and paper so you can take some notes too. So Abby Rogers is a hypnotherapist, coach, and business mentor who helps fiercely ambitious, visionary women go from stressed, anxious, and underpaid to owning their worth, building their wealth, and embracing life to the fullest. She's a former multi-six-figure business owner with 15 years business experience. Abby embraced her own pure passion in 2017, helping others create more success, less stress, and a joyful life on their terms. She is the founder and host of the Unblock Your Business podcast and works with clients internationally, helping them master their mindset, grow a soul-aligned business, and create limitless wealth and abundance. On a personal note, she lives in beautiful Bristol, UK with her husband and family. She loves to climb, eat, escape to the mountains or coast with her beloved camera, and sings everything from Old MacDonald to opera. Thank you so much, Abby, for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here. Thank you.
I promise I'm not going to ask you to sing. But it's tempting. But it is so tempting. But I won't. What I do want to talk about, though, is we kind of talked about in your introduction about what changed for you in 2017. And I really, truly believe that once we are working in our passion and in our purpose, we didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden we knew exactly what that was going to be, right? There was some shift that happened for us or some aha moment that happened to make that shift, right? And stuff. So would you be willing to share with us a little bit of what your shift was that made it so that right now where you are and who you are serving is so much your passion and your purpose that we want to hear all about it? But I kind of want to hear the story first.
So back in 2015, I think I was running my former business, which was an optometry practice. So I was a qualified registered optometrist in the UK. And I was coping very well. I thought I was fine doing all the things, spinning all the plates. The money was coming into the business. It was all going well. But I didn't realize that underneath everything I was doing, I was just phenomenally stressed and anxious and working so hard to make it all happen, and had major kind of confidence issues as well. So I found it really hard dealing with my business partner, dealing with the other members of staff in the business. So on the outside, everything was really good. I was successful, if you like, as a six-figure business owner then. But underneath, I was paddling frantically. The legs were going under the surface of the water. And I was incredibly stressed and didn't really realize it at the time. But I'd also decided alongside that to train as a singer, hence the random reference to Old MacDonald and opera there, and discovered that I was quite good at singing and I wanted to train to do that professionally, which I hoped would I guess, get me a little bit away from the other business, but just found that I had this awful stage fright. And so decided to do something about that. Went along to have some hypnotherapy, as you do, because I just thought, I don't know what to do with this. I really want to pursue this thing that I really love doing. And I find that every time I get up on stage in front of anybody else, even in my singing coaching sessions, I'm just falling apart and not singing as well as I could do. So let's try this hypnotherapy thing. Who knows? It might just help. I was highly skeptical. This is like last chance saloon here. We're going to give it a go, but I'm not really invested in it working. And a few weeks later, I just found that so much in my life changed. It wasn't just the stage fright, but all of a sudden I felt so much clearer. I could focus in a way that I hadn't forever really. And my confidence grew tremendously. And all of a sudden I was able to deal with situations I've not been dealing with before in my business and able to get some perspective and take a step back and see how anxious and overwhelmed I've been by the whole thing. And it was just a huge game-changing moment for me. Before that, I'd been noticing that my health wasn't so good. I was getting these random illnesses and going to the doctors, the GP surgery, and they were saying, oh no, there's nothing wrong with you, but I was just feeling exhausted and unwell all the time. And that disappeared. And I think that was basically kind of burnout creeping in without me having realized it. So as you can imagine, that was a bit of a revelation. I thought, wow, this has been life-changing for me. So over the course of the next couple of years, I guess I slowly started backing away from working so hard in that business and started to put things in place to get myself slowly out of there. But I was just fascinated by the hypnotherapy and how that had worked. And so I decided to enroll on the training course and lo and behold, discovered all this sort of neuroscience and psychology behind it. And it was just absolutely fascinating. And I've not been able to put it down since. And that was like, this is what I really need to do with my life, because helping people on that course and watching their lives starting to change as a result of the work we were doing together was just incredible for me. And that was like, this is what I need to be doing now with the rest of my life. So I think hopefully that sums it up.
No, actually, I think that's really interesting, because I think that happens for a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. We have a job. We think this is what we're supposed to do. Even if we decide to have a business, yeah, we think, what were the reasons why we got in business? Maybe it's time, whatever the reason is why people get in business. Just being a business owner itself is not a destination, right? It doesn't mean that is the thing that is going to fulfill us. And I have to say, Abby, I really resonated with your story, because that's how I felt about speaking. I didn't want to be a speaker. It was the next step in my business when I made the decision to become a speaker for 18 months. I know a lot of my audience may already know this, but for 18 months, I got physically ill every time before I got on the stage. Like for 18 months, I was already making multiple six figures from speaking and still getting sick. Yeah. And I couldn't figure out, like, why am I still getting sick? What is the reason why? And I ended up going and finding a coach and saying, what is it about this? And for me, it was coming to the conclusion that I was trying to change myself to be what I felt like people thought I should be, wear a soap opera dress, make a 3 mm-hmm. points, take a pregnant pause, etc. And what I learned was it was speaking in front of people who needed to hear it the way I spoke it. And it was a game changer for me, both professionally, personally, health-wise, all the way around. And then what's super funny about that is that was 13 years ago. And if somebody would have told me 13 years ago while I was getting sick as a dog and would have said, well, Patty, just so you know, in 5 years from now, like that is going to be who your clients are. That's who you're going to help. 90% of your clients are going to be speakers or want to be speakers, and you're going to help people to speak and help them to monetize their speaking. I would have just laughed so hard. I would not have ever believed that. So I think a lot of times we're led to where we're supposed to serve, and whether it affects us in our own life or business first, or in somebody we know, love, care about, or whatever, the fact of the matter is how we get to where we are when it all comes together for us is always like a story in itself, which is why I always love to ask my guests to share that story, because I know there's somebody out there in the audience that, whether it's exactly your story or my story, or theirs is a little bit differently, my guess would be that probably 80% of the people listening to this podcast right now, where they are now is not where they started. Yes. And it may not even be where they land, right? It's always like this whole journey. So I love that. And I love that really part of you getting to that is now you helping other women. I have to tell you, I love fiercely ambitious visionary women, like not just fiercely ambitious visionary women. So is there a reason? Like, that's a very specific niche, right? What is it about fiercely ambitious visionary women that makes it, you just know that's where you want to be? Like, what is it where you were called? And was it that right from the beginning, or was that an evolution as well?
Oh, so from the beginning, I think it was always there, but I didn't realize it was there. And as you'll know, and everybody listening will know, your niche is something that kind of gradually evolves and finds you. I think as you go through the process of working with various people and then you reflecting back on who's really ticked those boxes for you and made you just light up and think, this is the work I'm supposed to be doing. But for me, fiercely ambitious, I think, comes from, I've always had this deep desire myself to keep learning, keep evolving, just being the best I can be in my lifetime. And I really resonate with other women that feel that way. But also for me, before doing this work, getting to where I am now, it was all kind of squashed under this blanket of anxiety and lack of confidence. So I had this like deep burning passion to want to do more in life, but I couldn't do a lot of what I wanted to do because I just didn't have the confidence to do the speaking, as you say, or put myself out there visibility wise and things like that. And so it's like a pressure cooker, kind of wanting to be more and do more, but your physiological makeup and your brain's just getting in the way and saying, no, this isn't for you right now. I know that there are lots of women and lots of people out there who just know that they are destined for more, but they're just getting in their own way. And they're so frustrated with themselves for getting in their own way. And they're just like, if I could just pass this thing and do that, then I would be able to do so much more in the world. But our mind, our subconscious mind, and the effects of that on our body, as you've experienced, can be so powerful and so overwhelming. It just keeps us totally stuck, doesn't it?
Yes, it really can. And I think a lot of that is we get caught in the turmoil of not really knowing, right? Not really sure what we want. We have a foot here, we have a foot there. We think this. We look at what other people are doing and we're like, oh, they're pretty successful. That maybe I'd be interested in that. Right. And we do that. I feel like I love that we're going to be talking about manifesting, because I know for me, once I got clear on that, it was so much easier to manifest. And I remember a particular time when my husband and I were living in Albuquerque and we had decided to move. And my husband's like, well, I just can't figure out why I can't find what it is that I want to do or where we should move or what we should do. And I said to him, I said, well, I think it's because you aren't committed to it yet. Once you commit to it and you know, it'll be easier to manifest that. And so I worked with him a little bit. He made that decision. And literally like a week after that, like there it was. So I think manifesting is very important. I know for me, when I first learned about manifesting, I thought it was kind of woo-woo and it kind of wasn't at that time my thing. Right. I remember I would say things like, oh, wow, everybody here is like so negative. Like, oh, I will say things like, oh, wow, we need to shift the energy of the room. I would have never said that 5 years ago. That would have not have been a phrase I would have said. Or if I was looking for something, I use it a lot in my speaking business right now, in the sense of, for example, I told my husband about 6 months ago that I wanted to spend more time in Italy. And so I just every day just did this visualization, all this stuff about how I was going to manifest Italy and speaking in Italy. And since then, I've been booked 5 times to speak in Italy.
Wow.
But right now, I'm manifesting Greece. I haven't got it yet, but right now, Greece is what I'm manifesting because I want to speak in Greece. But I think that it is really important to understand that there are methodologies or some skill sets around that. And so that is not mine. I just practice it because it works for me. But I know this is something about manifesting that you do know about. So can you share a little bit about that? I think people either embrace it and they love it, in which case they don't think it's woo, or they don't know anything about it and they don't trust it or understand it, so they do think it's woo. So really, honestly, let's kind of address that right now and talk about, is it woo or isn't it? And what really is it?
My favorite thing. So I was highly skeptical and highly kind of anti-manifesting almost in my earlier days in this work. And I feel really awful saying, but Yeah, I was a scientific background by training and everything I learned in my hypnotherapy training as well, which a lot of people also view that as being fairly woo, but I knew from the training I'd done that was based on really sound neuroscience and psychology, and there were studies to back up absolutely everything we were doing. And then started in the online space coming across manifesting a lot more and seeing people talking about it all the time. And there seemed to be a lot of people out there sort of saying, I'm manifesting my next 10K month or whatever it might be. And I was kind of just looking at it and going, yeah, I'm not too sure about that. But I think it's always good to have an open mind and not just be closed off to things and say that it's not possible or we're never going to go there. So I started to do some more reading around it and just started to realize that actually everything I knew about the brain and how it worked dovetailed beautifully with the real kind of sound methodology behind manifesting once you get into it. So a lot of people have a bit of an idea around manifesting of just saying it to the universe, putting it out there, whatever you want, thinking about it enough and magically it will manifest. And I think there's so much more to it than that. And that's maybe the message that doesn't often get across, is it's not just this kind of like rub your crystal ball and hope it comes through. It's being in the right place when you're setting those intentions, giving your brain a really clear message about what it is that you want. As you said, being super specific about that, because there are parts of our brain that literally use that as, it's like the sat nav. You're kind of programming in the destination for the sat nav, and then your brain can work out the rest of the route to get there. So it's just like a stick it in there and you wait for it to materialize. But also you have to take action and be intentional about taking the right actions and spotting opportunities as they come up and following those. So you can't just sit there and have things land in your lap. It is about backing it up with action. And I think now, looking back on that whole kind of journey of understanding it, I would say it's absolutely a thing. There's definitely really strong science behind it. We know exactly why it works. And I think I used to see them as very distinct, like it's either science or it's, now I think the two are just absolutely one and the same. We just don't talk about them in the same way, or they're not often brought together in the right way, but they do totally align. And it all makes absolute sense when you start digging into it. So yeah,
I agree with that too. I think that when I first heard about manifesting and I asked the question, well, what exactly is that? I distinctly remember the answer I heard. And they said, well, it's kind of like when you buy a blue Honda, all of a sudden you see a million blue Hondas on the road. Like you just see them now. And I was like, okay, now I have seen that to be true on different things that I think about, and all of a sudden I see them everywhere. But I mean, it's pretty realistic to believe that our mind thinks like God knows how many thoughts in a day, right? Mm-hmm. Makes some stand out more than others, right? What makes some of them actually become opportunities? Because is it that you're aware of them now? Mm-hmm. That, like you said, you're being intentional about what you do. Now, I have to say for me, literally the moment I made the decision to manifest what I wanted, to be more intentional in everything that I do, and specifically in the topic that I literally wanted you to share with everyone, is as it really has to do with wealth creation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it is really important. Like we could manifest a lot of things, right? I want to manifest what is, I'm trying to do this and I want to manifest the tool that's going to help me with that, right? Like how intentional are you? It could have been right in front of you like every single day. Yeah. You just weren't looking for it then, right? So there is neuroscience involved there. Some psychology is there, manifesting, like all of those things come together. And so I could talk about what I believe and what I feel, but literally I wouldn't have had you on the show then. I believe that this is really your field. So let's kind of talk about it as it applies to wealth creation. Let's explore how manifesting really works with your brain using that, I don't want to say technology, but it's kind of brain technology, right? You know, how it all works together to really help you to create wealth.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we said, having a very clear intention, a very fit goal, suddenly changes the filter that your brain is looking through, if you like. So all of a sudden you're looking at everything through a different lens. And even from things as simple as the ideas you come up with, if you set your goal at, what, 10K a month, your brain's going to generate very different ideas to if you set your goal at, say, 100K a month. All of a sudden, because you've expanded the possibilities and you're looking to create a completely different level, your brain just opens up to, okay, how can we get there now? What different opportunities are available to me? What else can I bring into my world? How can I think about things differently? And this isn't your conscious thoughts necessarily so much as what's going on subconsciously in the background. You kind of, like we said, put the instructions in the sat nav and your brain's just figuring out the route in the background, and all of a sudden there you are in the shower or out for a drive and this idea flashes into your mind, and it's going to be aligned with whatever you've set as that intention in the first place. Now, the trouble comes in a few ways. Firstly, sometimes we're very good at saying to ourselves, well, I'd love to create that, but I don't really believe I can create that. And that belief is absolutely crucial. So we have to almost be able to see ourselves there and to believe it's happened already, or certainly to believe it is possible for us. Because if we don't, then our subconscious is just resisting and fighting against it the whole time. And it's just going, nah, this is current reality and this is where you're at. Thanks very much. So here are the ideas that match up with your current reality, rather than really leaning into potential future that you want to create. Limiting beliefs, you've probably come across that phrase, no end.
For sure.
Well, yeah, they can also trip us up and get us in the way and create more of that resistance, more of that lack of belief that we really can create that future for ourselves. And the other thing that really can get in the way is just our general anxiety levels. So often people have this really fixed goal and they almost become so anxious about making it happen. They believe it can happen. They see it happening for other people. They're doing all the right things. They're working so hard to try and create it that it almost becomes a negative focus. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Almost chasing it too hard and looking at our world and going, oh, why hasn't it happened yet? Why hasn't it happened? What else do I need to do? What else do I need to do?
Well, because that becomes stressful in itself and they're overwhelmed by that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our brain then is seeing the fact that this thing hasn't happened yet and really focusing on that rather than just having this goal and allowing it to be there. So I think sometimes we can put far too much pressure on it and far too much pressure on things to happen within a certain timeline. But 100% guarantee that if you have a goal and you keep following the actions that keep coming up, eventually you're going to get there. It just requires perseverance, resilience, all those other useful traits that keep us on track, and just not giving up basically and believing it is going to happen. And I think the more we can kind of relax and let it go, the faster that often happens. So like with your intention setting around getting to Italy, it's just all of a sudden the opportunities are there. That's great.
Exactly. What would you say are, maybe could you give us a few simple practical changes that we can make that would help us to attract more of what we want?
So I think the first one sounds completely miles away from manifestation, but making sure you're getting good sleep, weirdly enough, because sleep is incredible for helping us to process emotions and stress and anxiety and just keep all that stuff out of the equation. And allowing you to access your most creative, highest, most beneficial thoughts. So if you can be rested and well looked after and you're getting a good night's sleep, then your brain's going to be so much more able to create the thoughts it needs to and the insights it needs to and spot things in your world, rather than you being in this kind of sleep deprived, lethargic place where you're just zombieing through life every day. So yeah, good sleep would be absolutely number one on my agenda, which is probably not something you hear often around manifesting, but it really makes a heck of a difference. Things like movement and self-care and just anything else that helps to reduce those anxiety levels again and keeps you in a good place mentally. And I think one major thing as well for me that really started to shift the needle was practicing gratitude and noticing the things that we already have in life and being really grateful for those, because that just keeps us out of that negative place where we're just feeling there's lack all the time and we're just, life's not going to be any good until I've got the thing that I'm pursuing. It keeps us away from that. And it just helps brain, when we're feeling grateful for the abundance and everything we already have in the world, generates lots of happy chemicals that again help us generate better thoughts, more useful thoughts, and just also helps us have a really positive association with wanting more good things. So our brain's like, I want more of this stuff. How can I get the next hit? How can I up level even further? So it's going to help us get there.
I feel like I really like what you're saying, because I think that a lot of times it's sort of like setting up the situation, right? There's a lot of things that we do in life that we're thinking, oh, Like maybe we want to lose weight. So we start thinking like you go to the grocery store and you buy healthy food and you know that you're going to want to drink more water. And you start thinking about maybe some exercise. You don't just sit there and think, oh, you know what? I want to lose weight. I'm not going to make any changes. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to be intentional about it. And I just think it's going to happen. I mean, that's unrealistic. So I think that making some small changes that basically will give our brain and be able to help us to manifest it quickly, or at least quicker, by putting certain things into place that just kind of help it along a little bit, right? So being intentional about that. So I think that is really important in pretty much everything we do, no matter what we are thinking about doing, being intentional. I'm intentional about everything that I do. And I've learned that early on to do that. So I think that when you're really thinking about wealth creation, would you say that being very specific? So like you said earlier, when am I going to have the next 10K month versus 100K month, right? Or a year or whatever the case may be, getting clear on exactly what it is that you want. And then being intentional about when the opportunity arises, like what am I willing to do to take action? Because now you want to be prepared, right? You want to be prepared. So if like I am going to set the intention and I want to manifest that I want to go to Greece, well, obviously one of the things I may want to do is to make sure that my passport's up to date, which of course it is. But I mean, like, think about it. What would the thing? So if that opportunity arose, do I have my ducks lined up in a row, so to speak, right? So setting the attention, putting the manifesting out there, but also being really clear that this isn't magic. It's not like somebody's just going to knock on your door and say, oh, I would love you, Patty, to come to Greece. Like, would you like to sign here? And we're going to book you, right? There's things that I need to do as well. And so when you're thinking about wealth creation, is it that you need to just be clear about the number? But should we also, for my audience, how deep in the intention do they need to go? In other words, does it need to be like, okay, I want to have a 10K month? Well, do you just want to have one 10K month or do you want to have 10K months consistently? If you do have 10K months, what actions would you need to put into place to sustain that, right? So what are a few things? So if my audience is listening to you and they're thinking, you know what? That sounds really good. So in a minute, I'm going to give them a way to connect with you and continue the conversation. Before we go there, are there a couple questions they should ask themselves or what should they be thinking about? Because the reality is you have to be willing to do the work too, right? Are there a couple questions or some thoughts that maybe they should be thinking as they prepare?
Absolutely. Two things that spring to mind here. So the first one is, yes, the number's important, but what's more important is the emotion behind it, the connection behind it. So what would that 100K mean to you? If you want that as a monthly income figure, what would that mean to you on an ongoing basis? So it's thinking, rather than just the number, how does that change my life? How would it actually feel? And what difference would it make in my world to be at that point? Because that is far more powerful than any number, any figure could ever be. That emotional attachment to it is what really drives the change in our brain and the will to want to do things to get there. So I think that's so important to really explore that and look at your why and many whys behind the second thing.
Well, I think that while you're thinking is really that you have to set yourself up for success in whatever that is. And you're right. It is the emotional thought about why do you want it? Is it that like if you were going to say a 10K month consistently, does that mean you wouldn't have to work on Fridays? Does that mean you wouldn't have to take work home on the weekends? Does that mean every day you could stop work at 4 o'clock so you could go pick your own children up from school and take them to extracurricular activities that you now can afford to pay for? So it's really the thing, but it does take $10,000 a month to pay for those things, right? So that's just an example of like something that, and it's easier to get excited about that too, right? To me, a 10K month in itself, just saying those words means nothing to me. Okay. But what does the 10K month represent to me? And what it represents to me versus you versus everybody in my audience, we may all have a very different and probably do have a very different version of what $10,000 a month increase in what we're already making would do for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a case of just keeping going with that why until you get to a real deep why that really matters to you. The second thing is asking yourself, who do I need to be that person who is able to create that level of wealth? So we kind of touched on this, I guess, earlier in terms of having your ducks in a row, being prepared, doing all the right things. But it's asking yourself, like, how else do I need to change? What else do I need to do in my life to support me being that person? Are there actions I need to take right now that are just going to make it so much easier for me and are going to start to bring opportunities? And just exploring for yourself, when I get to that level of wealth, what do I imagine myself doing? What are the other things I would want to be doing? Like, for example, if you're, I don't know, say a business owner, and at that level of wealth, you might want to start investing maybe in property or stocks or whatever it might be, but you're currently absolutely terrified of anything to do with investing, then there's going to be quite a lot of resistance there again. So if you can just put yourself in the shoes of that person who has achieved what you want to achieve and say, what would that person be feeling around these things? What would they be doing? They would have sorted all this out, wouldn't they? They'd be feeling completely confident around investing and just then starting to take actions to move in that direction again. So maybe starting to research good investment strategies and so on that would really support you.
So you're partnering with your manifesting, right? You're saying to yourself, oh, while I'm waiting for the manifesting to happen, I know when it does, these are some things I'm going to need to do to get my head straight or change some behaviors or some beliefs that I may have. I'm going to work on those so I am ready when it shows up, and just believing that it will. So I really like that. I like that you have given us some explanations, some kind of thoughts behind it, really kind of setting intention with it and why there really is psychology behind it. And so that we feel much better about embracing it for those that may not. So I hope we have answered some of those questions. For somebody that hasn't or has more questions or wants to connect with you, and I am sure there are many that will, how can people connect with you?
So the best way is probably just through my website, www.abigail-rogers.com. You can also find it through unblockyourbusiness.com. It goes straight to the same site. So if that's easier to remember, jump on there. And there are obviously some free downloads and bits and bobs on there as well. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, so you can find me there as well. And of course, the podcast that you mentioned at the beginning, Unblock Your Business, is a great
perfect as well. Perfect. So you also brought a gift, which I love when people bring gifts. And tell us a little bit about the gift.
So this gift is, it's 10 steps to consciously creating your dream life. So we explored a little bit earlier on things that you can do now to support yourself and to start to get your mindset in a better place for manifesting. And this is a 10-step process I've designed based on my conscious creation formula for creating whatever you want in life that just walks you through all of the actions that you can take in your life to start moving you to that place where your mind is more naturally aligned with manifesting and creating what you want. So go check it out.
That's beautiful. And we will have the button right below. So just look down, the button will be there for the gift, as well as the link to her website and all her social media links as well. So we know that this is the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast, right? And we love to wind up the show with asking our guests kind of sort of our version of open mic to answer one final question. So what is your number one marketing, media, or money strategy?
So for me, I would have to base it around what we've been talking about today. And I think for me, it's just to constantly keep challenging your own expectations and the limitations you believe you have around what's possible for you and your capabilities in the world. So back in the days of that earlier business, and when life was awfully stressful and I was effectively sort of scared of money and handling and things, I used to tell myself all sorts of stories like, I don't understand money, I'm no good with figures, I'm just going to delegate it to somebody else, I'm going to give away my responsibility and my power to other people more about this than me. And in the end, that didn't work out so well. I wish that back in those days, we don't have regrets, so I don't wish, I guess, but if I could have done things differently, I would have taken control of my thoughts and beliefs around money at that time and just challenged myself to make friends with it and feel less scared of it and take responsibility for it back then. And we often tell ourselves that we can't. We've grown up with lots of beliefs around what's possible for us, or we're no good with something, or that we're just not a figures person or a money person. Challenge those because we can all become figures people and money people, and we can all take responsibility for our money and get to a much better place with it. It's just not allowing that voice to get in the way and tell you that you can't.
Absolutely. So Abby, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really love this conversation. I think that it is going to challenge a few people to maybe think a little different, to kind of expand their mind, be open a little bit to maybe redefining what woo means to them, right? Yeah. And I really appreciate you being here with me today.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really lovely to chat to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And to my audience, thank you so much for being here. I hope you took lots of notes. I hope that you're going to realize that let's make sure that you connect with Abby. I have to tell you, on her website, she also has a link besides that gift. She actually has a fabulous freebies, and there's all kinds of things for you to take advantage of there. So plan on spending a minute or two there. I'm sure that it will be a blessing for you. And while I'm thinking, I want to make sure that I thank my sponsor. The Marketing Media Money Podcast is sponsored by Meg Schmitz, founder of Take the Leap Franchise Consulting Company. The franchise industry is booming as people look to diversify their income streams with essential businesses without having to leave their day job. So to learn more, schedule a call with Meg at megschmitz.com. The conversation is free, but the insights are priceless. So once again, thank you for joining us here on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you again, Abby, for being here. It was an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. Likewise. Thank you.
And to the audience, thank you so much. Have a phenomenal week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.